WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. In Chicago, President Biden delivered a speech on the economy, touting what the White House calls Bidenomics, highlighting actions his administration has already taken to benefit most Americans. The president says his policies are helping reverse four decades of trickle-down economics. He says he adopted the name Bidenomics from the media.
I said I didn't name it Bidenomics. I didn't realize The Economist and The Wall Street Journal did. But I think it's a plan that I'm happy to call Bidenomics.
Concerns over inflation remain. Fed Chair Jerome Powell has signaled more interest rate hikes could come. In New York City, Marine veteran Daniel Penny pleaded not guilty to charges related to last month's subway choking death of Jordan Neely. For the first time since the 2020 Olympics, gymnast Simone Biles is making a comeback after taking what she called a mental health break. The seven-time Olympic medalist and 2016 Olympic champion will compete in the U.S. Classic in August. This is ABC News. Former President Trump is suing E. Jean Carroll. She's the writer who sued him for defamation. A jury awarded her $5 million in damages after finding Trump liable for sexual assault, but not rape. The former president is now suing Carroll for defamation after she insisted he did rape her, even after the trial was over. A so-called ganja glut in some areas where marijuana is legal.
Oklahoma voters legalized medical cannabis in 2018, launching a flurry of pot farms. 5 years later,
even if they're considered a legitimate grower, they're producing more than there's demand.
Mark Woodward of the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics says all that extra weed is going somewhere.
Talking to our law enforcement partners from California to New York and New Jersey, they're saying that we are their number one supplier.
With illegal shipments from Oklahoma driving legal growers in those other states to the brink of failure. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Gustav Klimt's masterpiece, Lady with a Fan, sold at auction for over $108 million. Rena Roy, ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. It's the worst air quality in over a decade, according to the DNR. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is currently unhealthy for everyone in most of the state, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. It's been rare this summer, but there is a chance of severe weather today here in western Wisconsin. Storms are expected to start from the north and west this afternoon and move mostly east throughout the evening and overnight, with the main risks being hail and high winds. And last night, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge, which is nearly a century old. The project would come with a $14.2 million price tag. The old bridge will be used until 2026. Additionally, the city plans on creating a TIF district in the old Shopko Plaza area in an effort to spur business development on the southwest side of the city. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson and Walks, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson and Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people. But there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000
pies. 150,000
pies
and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoic likes to brag about.
We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.com.
Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChamblottFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for haze throughout today with a high near 83. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 65. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 87.
If you've been waiting to replace those appliances, don't miss Warner Stellion's lowest prices of the season. Score instant savings, then up to 10% off, and a bonus for each additional appliance you buy. Put us to the test at WarnerStellion.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to the Matt McNeil Show for Wednesday, June 28th, 2023, in the space-time continuum. I'm not Matt McNeil. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for Matt, who's on vacation. He'll be back on July 5th. So you got me till then. At least today and tomorrow. And then Friday's like a best of show or something like that. But I'm very excited because last time I interviewed this person, I thought it was quite newsworthy. And now the news is, back then it was kind of in a negative way, talking about how nothing can get done in Minnesota. But now it's going to be a positive conversation, at least mostly, because of the historic Minnesota legislative session. We have the Speaker of the House of Minnesota, Melissa Hortman, Representative Melissa Hortman, on the line. Hi, Melissa.
How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Excellent.
Have you been able to relax at all since session let out?
Yes, I'm really proud of what my garden looks like now. It's mostly weed-free. I'm very happy about that.
Oh, right. Good. Finally, right? I had some time to do that. Yeah, because we've been having trouble getting people to call in because everyone's on vacation. So very much appreciate you taking some time out to give us a call. I see that Secretary Raimondo, the Secretary of Commerce, is in Minnesota right now, and they're having a little shindig because of broadband being brought into Minnesota. I know that's something that the DFL has been trying to work on for 10 years or more. What did happen in the session with broadband in Minnesota?
We dedicated $100 million of state money in addition to the several hundred million we had already been set up to receive from the federal government before this last allocation. And so with the new allocation, we really are going to be able to make substantial headway in getting border-to-border service.
Yeah, I saw a presentation by Secretary Raimondo where they have a new system where they can more accurately or totally accurately track what houses, what addresses have broadband currently and what houses don't have broadband. Are you privy to that? I know this isn't, you're not an expert on this, but are you privy to that here in Minnesota?
I know one of the conversations we've been having is in terms of providing a certain base level of service to everyone or trying to get those speeds up. And, you know, both of those things compete with each other when you have limited resources. But thanks to the Biden administration and the last state budget surplus, we should be able to make progress on both speed and availability.
Right. So do you have sort of a favorite or what you think might be the most important type of legislation that got through this session? There's so much to choose from.
Sure. It's a very long list. You know, I've been at a few fundraisers and other kinds of functions with the lieutenant governor and the leader of the Senate and the governor lately, and we're all like, where do you start and where do you end when you talk about all the great things we did this session?
Yeah.
But I think about it in two ways. I think about the things that people can feel right away and then I think about the things that will take longer for people to feel. The things that people will feel right away is driver's licenses for all. You know, for 20 years, there have been people living in fear that they will get pulled over for taking their child to the doctor's office,
right,
or for driving to work and end up deported. And this is something that was very gratifying to move on quickly to session. Another thing people will feel right away is if you see 5,000 people who have served their sentence of incarceration and have their right to vote back, and they are able to vote in elections now. Another thing people will feel right away is the school lunches for children, so breakfast and lunch next year. I think one of the senators, I think it was Senator Heather Gustafson, called it a lunchbox tax cut. So for families who don't have to worry about, oh, shoot, did I refill my kid's lunch account? Or right. Do we have any food I can pack a lunch today? All these children will just be getting breakfast and lunch next year. So those are the things we'll see right away.
Right.
Then there's things that will take longer to feel. And like most of the things we did in the budget, you won't feel immediately. You'll feel over time, like our investments in higher education, our investments in E-12, and our investments in early childhood education. Over the next 10 to 15 years, as this generation ages, we will see the benefit of having three-year-olds who got great preschool, and then they got a great learning opportunity when they were a four-year-old, and then they got a great kindergarten opportunity.
Right.
That'll take longer to show and to feel.
Yeah, also infrastructure takes some time to build, but that's kind of a mix because we're seeing work starting to get done. We're seeing some of our roads that we hated to drive down suddenly being blocked off because they're going to get fixed. Like lead out of pipes and things like that. There's a lot of important stuff that's just not that sexy to talk about that is just really, really important and had been neglected. A lot of infrastructure type of things that how do you go about trying to message those types of things and spread the word to keep those in the front of people's minds as well?
I think that people really get the investments in infrastructure. I mean, it isn't like as newsworthy as cannabis. I mean, that seemed to be the thing that reporters glommed onto and wanted to get the play-by-play. But
right.
People understand the difference in their lives that good infrastructure makes. Not, you know, not having to worry that their children are ingesting lead through lead pipes, or not having to worry that their wastewater treatment plant is going to fail. Or that the roads that they drive on won't be in the condition that they want for their car. I think people were really ready for us to invest in infrastructure after this last winter when we had some of the worst freeze and thaw cycles that we've seen in decades here in Minnesota.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think about and don't even really know, you know, they've never really been told in their whole lives. You don't learn about it in school, like, you know, the wastewater treatment plant in your town. So, you know, as important as it is, it's just harder to point out to people that, hey, you know, that takes a lot of time and money to take care of those things. And the DFL got it done this session. So,
more accessible, you know, when we leave school, you're right, we don't really learn about wastewater treatment plants or like the cost of asphalt in our K-12 system. But then when you buy your first house or you're renting your first home that you have to maintain yourself and you start to understand the importance of maintenance, you know, as an adult, and when we get these paychecks, and it's not that exciting to fix the roof or to get a new window to replace one that's 30 years old, but we all understand that our investments will degrade in value if we don't maintain them. So that's a great conversation for me to have when I'm at the doors, when I'm talking to somebody who doesn't think they're super interested in politics and they're kind of just a practical, down-to-earth person.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about preserving the assets of the state as a responsible, you know, little c conservative, fiscally conservative thing to do.
Yeah, when I ran, as you know, I ran for the state house, and you helped me a lot when I was running for the state house years ago, and I found it really fascinating, the things that you kind of end up learning when you're going to be an elected official And I never even became an elected official, but even as a candidate, you know, learning about infrastructure things that people don't think about. You know, you're going to have a town here. You don't want the outhouse to be right by the drinking water and things like that. And you need to make up rules. And say one thing I wanted to talk to you about. I don't remember the last time that we were finishing the session on time and everything was done and there was no drama. How did you go about doing that? You obviously were a huge part about the processes that went on this session that obviously were way different than pretty much any past session for probably at least 20 years here in Minnesota. How did you do that?
Yeah, we worked as a team. You know, sometimes in the past, the House and the Senate have treated each other like one of them's the Vikings and the other one is the Packers. And instead of taking that kind of approach and worrying about, you know, did the Senate version or the House version make it to the governor's desk, we just worked as a team, an absolute team, with the governor's office. And the House members and the Senate members weren't trying to one-up each other or, like, spring surprises. Nobody sprung any surprises on anyone. And so I think it's good for the people of Minnesota to have relatively boring people running government. So yeah. Senator Carrie Cusick and I, neither one of us are people who really seek out the spotlight. We don't want to ride a dramatic roller coaster during the session. We know what the job is. We knew how to structure the work and schedule the work so that it would be done on time. And then we just executed together completely as a team.
Yeah. How much of that work had to be done even before session began?
Well, we started coordinating right after the election. So both she and I got elected leader 2 days after the election. You know, you go to caucus, you're pretty bleary-eyed on the Thursday after the election, and that evening typically is when caucus leaders are elected. The mm-hmm. very next day, she and I met with Governor Walz and his staff and started plotting out and planning the schedule for the session. So we knew in November and December that we wanted to end on time. You know, with the Democratic trifecta, if we didn't end on time, nobody would cut us any slack for that. They would say, okay, hey, Democrats, we gave you total control of state government. Show us what you can produce.
Yep.
And so we knew, first and foremost, like on any job, you show up on time, you do the work, and you end on time. And both of us knew the last time that had happened was in the last Democratic trifecta, 2013 and 2014. So we were very intent on making sure we put a lot of deadlines in place ahead of the real deadline, which is the very end of session. We put like a lot of mini deadlines in place so people would have to make the progress they needed to end on time.
Yeah, so that's very interesting. How then involved were all of the players, basically all of the, on your side, the House members? How involved were they then in being a part of that? Were you thinking of issues, you know, like say a certain bill and then thinking of somebody to be the author of that bill? Or how involved were you in that process as opposed to just House members bringing bills, you know, to the House?
Well, that's the part I'm most proud of, is the way that we scheduled things and the way we set up the session. We put the power back in the hands of the 201 lawmakers. And, you know, you had seen way too many sessions where the leadership at the end was the blockade for everybody else getting their work done by not having those global budget targets until the month of May. So because we picked the global budget targets in March, then we completely liberated all of the committee chairs and the members to do the work of putting those bills together. And they really decided what was in those bills.
Mm-hmm.
Would those bills be, as soon as the House and Senate conferees came to agreement, then the bills were done. And as soon as all that got done, we could close out the session. So I think, you know, too often in my career, I've seen leaders, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, hold too much of the power in the corn profits and saying, like, well, you know, I want to make sure my fingerprints are on everything. And what I did is I just trusted our members to do the work. We had done so much of it over the last 4 years where the Democrats have been in control in the Minnesota House. We passed paid family medical leave. We passed cannabis legalization. We passed substantial investments in education and health care. However, we couldn't get those things through the Republican Senate. So it was pretty easy for us to pick up those bills and just keep working with the people who had been doing the work over the last 4 years.
Right. And some of the things that are newer, like paid family and medical leave, you know, has been being worked on for more than a decade. And some of the things that were newer, that were being added, did you have instances where more than one House member sort of simultaneously without realizing the other is working on trying to get a certain bill? You know, like the coordination, because there were just so many bills. And so how do you deal with that?
Well, there were some bills like that. Absolutely. Reproductive freedom was one of those issues. But we have a Reproductive Freedom Caucus. It's led by Lindsey Port in the Senate and Representative Kalee Herr in the House. And so Senator Disick and I worked closely with the Reproductive Freedom Caucus to make sure that we had really strong authors for each of the bills in the House and the Senate. The other thing we wanted to do is we wanted to make sure that the people who carried those bills that we were moving quickly had the time and attention to dedicate to the multiple hearings that they would need to get those bills through. So in some cases, we didn't pick the more senior members or the more experienced members because those folks were chairing committees. A really great example is the Reproductive Freedom Defense Act that Representative Esther Agbaje carried for our team. She's not a chair of a committee, but she's a really strong player. And because she didn't have to worry about setting up a committee and getting that all undertaken, she was able to work her bill through the process rapidly in January.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's very interesting. I mean, it was quite an orchestra. You were sort of the conductor of a large orchestra. And say, we need to take a short break. Would you be able to stay on a few more minutes?
Sure.
Okay, great. Let's take a short break and come back and finish our talk with Speaker of the House in Minnesota here, Representative Melissa Hortman. I'm Todd Mickelson. I'm trying to keep names straight in my head. I'm tripping over my words. You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't even give the time.
Don't be so easy and make it hard. Hi, this is Angela Warner for Warner Stallion Appliance. Do you have a dishwasher that doesn't really clean your dishes so you have to? Or a refrigerator that kind of keeps your milk cold and you've just been waiting for the right time to buy? Well, Warner Stallion has the lowest prices of the season with exclusive savings, including free dishwasher installation on brands like Bosch, and up to 10% off and a bonus for each additional appliance you buy for up to $1,000. See what I mean at warnerstallion.com.
Hey, AM 950 listeners, my name is J.P. Derbogosian. I'm the host of This Queer Book Saved My Life, the show where LGBTQ guests share the queer books that saved their lives with the very authors who wrote them. This week, I'm co-hosting with Enrico Manalo from the DEI Is podcast. We're talking with Brian McCormick about queer inclusivity at work. What does that really mean, to be queer inclusive? What does belonging look like for queer folk? Join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Cafe Latte offers made-from-scratch soups, salads, sandwiches, and mouth-watering desserts.
So come check out their pizza and wine bar, or get a treat from the bakery made fresh daily. Plus, you can still do online ordering and takeout, along with gift cards. Just go to CafeLatte.com and choose from their ever-changing selection of award-winning salads, sandwiches, and soups. Cafe Latte is located off Victoria and Grand and online at CafeLatte.com.
Hey, it's Patrick. While you and your family are ready for summer, make sure your home is ready for summer, too. There are going to be a lot of people over at your house for those barbecues and graduation parties in June, so make sure to check in with my friends at Zero Res to make sure your floors are in tip-top shape. And now that summer is finally here, it's time to take advantage of Zero Res's best deal of the year. Carpets, tile, rugs, upholstery, basically every surface in your home can be zero-resified, so it's time to call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res. It's also the perfect time of year to get your air ducts and your dryer vent clean too. You've waited and now you save. Book now and take advantage of the summer sale and get 20% off all services. Schedule your appointment by calling 952-ZERO-RES or going to ZeroResMinnesota.com and asking for the AM 950 special. Backward or forward spells the same. Zero Res.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to the Matt McNeil Show. Todd Mickelson, me, sitting in for Matt because he's on vacation. And I get to interview the Minnesota Speaker of the House, my friend Melissa Hortman. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, how's it going, Todd?
Good. So one thing I remember from a few years ago was I could have swore that the Republicans here in Minnesota were in favor of legalizing marijuana, say 8-9 years ago. Do you remember that too?
No, I don't really, because you know what has happened over my time in the House is that the Republicans have gotten really so far out of step with the mainstream of Minnesotans. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there was, I think, way back, maybe 20 years ago, some libertarians in the Republican Party who really believed in, you know, letting people have the freedom to make those kinds of decisions for themselves. But we, in the 2010 election, got a bunch of Tea Partiers.
Yeah.
And then in the 2016 election, you know, with Donald Trump getting elected, we got like a whole new breed of Republican.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that they're, to be honest, less freedom loving and more into control and almost like too many of them cult worship of Donald Trump.
Yeah. And also, I think now they were against it this session because they've been putting up fake marijuana candidates to try and cheat on elections. And now they can't do that anymore. And so here, another thing. Minnesota has been being under the microscope or in the spotlight, I should say, of a lot of the country because of the work that you did. And I saw you on the Alex MSNBC. I can't remember her last name right now, but I saw you on a national TV show. Just kind of, I didn't know you were going to be on, and I just happened to see you on it. And right after the session, and I think you were at, you've been to the White House and things like that. And you say, you know, you don't look for the spotlight, but the spotlight found you. So how do you feel about that? Is that a nice thing? Are you glad people are looking at Minnesota as an example?
It's been really gratifying and kind of fun. You know, when Governor Walz and Senator Dzik and I are together, we're usually hard at work solving tough problems. And recently we've kind of been able to be together and celebrate the victories. And really, you know, the three of us get a lot of credit, but it's really a lot of people who've been working over decades. What I keep saying about this session is it's the biggest, longest running group project that I've ever been involved in. Because when you think about, for example, driver's licenses for all, when Tim Pawlenty got rid of that way back in 2003, there were activists who got organized and started working on that right away. And they had success in this 2023 session. There were folks who figured out Minnesota should have paid family medical leave, you know, way back in the middle of 2000s, they started working on it. And so when you look at all the people, yourself included, who have run for office, who have helped people who run for office, because they believe in these things that we were able to accomplish, it really was a group project. So, you know, I think Governor Walz and Senator Dzik and I, we feel like all of us together, we got an A++ on this group project, and we feel blessed that we had the opportunity to see these circumstances come together, you know, a Democratic trifecta, a big state surplus, and an experienced governor, experienced speaker, and really Carrie Dzik also experienced, but in the legislature for in the Minnesota Senate for more than 10 years. So we were really ready to go, and we worked well together with both the legislative team, but also that vast team of Minnesotans who make legislation happen
right.
by telling their stories and working on campaigns and getting involved.
Yeah, I worked with the Coalition for Paid Family and Medical Leave for a few years as a small business owner, and got small business owners to go testify. I testified myself quite a bit. And those groups have been together for such a long time. I wonder what's going to happen then to some of these groups, because, you know, now they caught the car, so their job is done.
Right.
It's hard to almost not feel a little sad, like, oh, we're not going to be working on this together anymore, you know?
Well, I would say the hard part comes now, which is implementation, you know? So definitely legalizing cannabis was important, but now is the part where we have to get those convictions off of people's records, people who have suffered under the prohibition policies. And so as the next few months move forward in the next few years, we have to all work together to make sure that the intent of the legislation is carried out. And that's right. a much bigger job even
yeah.
than passing it in some cases.
Well, and I would think, too, just messaging, keeping the messaging going, because, you know, Republicans are just complaining about absolutely everything. And, you know, they complain about paid family and medical leave. And somebody needs to keep people aware of what paid family and medical leave is and how it's benefiting them so that they're not only hearing the negative messaging about it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I've talked to the governor about and Senator Dzik, is that we had such a successful session and so many things passed that we really now have this hard job of explaining to Minnesotans everything that happened in this session. Yeah. You know, some people are political junkies, right? They listen to AM 950 and the conversations like this. But a lot of people are thinking more about whether they have cat food or not than mm-hmm. What happened at the legislative session. You know, like, life is busy. And
yes.
so we've got to go out and make sure Minnesotans know all the great things that happened this year.
Yes, and we all need to do that together as much as we can. That's what I try and tell people, even here when I'm on the radio or whatever. You know, I'm just trying to keep people informed so that they know how to argue when they get in an argument, and how to tout things. You know, I mean, there has been a lot. The one good thing I would think, and I wonder if you think or have noticed this as well, kind of because of the sort of darkness that has become politics for the last 7 or 8 years, it seems now that more people are informed, keeping themselves informed and paying more attention of things that they used to not pay attention to. They used to take for granted. And now, you know, because everybody's gotten so worked up, I see it as a positive thing that people are informing themselves more and better. Do you see that from your point of view?
Yeah, I think that when Donald Trump got elected, that took some people by surprise. And then the next 4 years, how that unfolded, there were many shocking incidents. But I think the most shocking thing to the public conscience was the insurrection on January 6, 2021. And, the 22 election that we just had was the first time that voters got to register their opinions about that. And I think what people said at the polls in 2022 and what they told our candidates at the doors is, I am concerned about American democracy. I've always been concerned about protecting democracy overseas. And, you know, we hear about dictators.
Mm-hmm.
But here in this country, I didn't think that I would have to take personal responsibility for making sure that democracy was protected in this country. And I think that voters do feel a responsibility to participate more and to listen more and make sure that we don't end up in a situation like that again.
Yeah, so you think that was probably, if you sort of did a poll, that would be the top issue that Minnesotans were voting on in 2022?
Well, we did a lot of polling, and there were four things that popped out in 2022. Choice, gun violence prevention, climate action, and protecting democracy. Those were the four very, very hot issues.
Yeah.
Then there's three issues that we always poll about and are always very high priorities for Minnesotans, and that's investing in public education, affordable and accessible health care, and an economy that works for everyone. You know,
yeah.
A fair day's pay for a fair day's work, decent benefits. But yeah, democracy really jumped off the page when we went out and did our polling to kind of guide some of our message work in our written communication to voters and our, you know, digital and our audio communications on radio. We wanted to know what was on their mind, and they certainly brought up democracy.
Yeah. Yeah, we live in interesting times. But, you know, there's a huge silver lining, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about right now, is that we've got a more educated electorate, and we've got a higher participation in the elections, and Gen Z is informing themselves because they're running for their lives. they're voting for their lives. And so
absolutely.
We have. Yeah.
I mean, whether it's gun violence prevention or, like, look at today in Minnesota, it is very clear that our planet is on fire.
Yeah.
And young people have been asking politicians to do something about the climate for a long time. But really, that last year during the summer, we had these air quality days. And I think that, you know, as candidates, we want to get people revved up to participate and vote in the election. But the skies today,
yeah,
that's the kind of thing that gets people revved up and voting in an election.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So, again, silver lining, even with climate change. But it's, you know, it should have happened decades ago. But what are you going to do? There's so much. There were a couple very interesting things I was going to go into with you, but I've already kept you like two times longer than I told you I was going to keep you. So it would be so nice to talk to you for the whole rest of the day here, but I should let you go and get back to your garden, apparently, is what you're doing today, right?
And a few other things. There's definitely some continuing work on both the campaign side and the policy side, but it was a real pleasure to talk to you, Todd, and I do look forward to coming back again and talking to you some more at a different time.
Great. You're welcome at any time. And thank you so much for staying with us overtime here. That's the Speaker of the House of Minnesota, Representative Melissa Hortman, and she is kind of a nationwide star at the moment for her work that in this last session. It was a historic job. So thank you for all you do, and I'm thanking you from all Minnesotans, even the ones who think they disagree with you. They're going to have something, whether they know it or not, that's going to make their life better because of the work that you and your coalition did. So thank you very much, and hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right, have a great day.
All right, you too. And we need to take a break here at AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back.
There are men, and there are giants.
The Park Tavern in St. Louis Park is your summer destination. The patio is amazing, perfect for you and your friends to grab dinner and drinks. Enjoy a game of cornhole while you indulge in the great food. The full Park Tavern menu is available outside. The Park Tavern also has live music on the patio every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and even some Mondays through the summer. Reservations are highly recommended. And if the weather does turn, the bowling lanes at the Park Tavern are always open and are spectacular. On Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, the perfect summer is waiting for you at the Park Tavern.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, new books for your summer reading list.
We'll talk to the authors of The Good It Promises, The Harm It Does, Critical Essays on Effective Altruism.
And Recording Russia, Trying to Listen in the 19th Century.
And How to Be Perfect, the correct answer to every moral question.
It's our annual summer reading list. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk, every Sunday at 8 a.m. on AM 950.
Is your remote workforce putting your company at risk? Cyber criminals are targeting your employees with COVID-19-inspired emails and attacking businesses like yours. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. Rimark has the tools and expertise to enable your employees to work securely from home. If you need help getting your staff to work remotely and securely, call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com. That's 651-328-8900 or RimarkIT.com. RudyLutheran.com.
I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyota's inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Tune in this Saturday morning right here on AM 950 for the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show from 7 to 8 a.m. We'll be discussing fall garden preparation as well as what is eating my plants. Our guest is online garden expert Greg Peterson, and we'll answer your garden questions. That's all this Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950. Tell a friend and let's grow together.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for haze throughout today with a high near 83. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 65. And Thursday, partly cloudy with a high near 87. Eat Local Minnesota is a great way to find locally owned restaurants and food purveyors. They feature high quality food and unique eating experiences for your next meal. Some of those restaurants include Cafe Latte and Scotch Mama's Hot Barbecue. Find a full list of all of our restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil show for this entire week, or at least through tomorrow. And we just were speaking with the Minnesota Speaker of the House, Melissa Hortman, who was nice enough to stay two times longer than she was asked. I kind of always abuse that, but they still call in, so I don't know. It sounded like she was enjoying the conversation, don't you think, Brett?
I think so, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, could have talked to her. I was watching the clock because it was like, oh man, I have so much more to talk about. But now we covered quite a bit. There were some things that I was maybe going to bring up. I realized we wouldn't have enough time for all of this, but a lot of legislation that people are probably never even going to hear about, and some of it is really, really good, like the transportation sector. And I know you talked about this yesterday with Patrick Coulican here on the show, Brett, and I'm looking at his article, and I know he mentioned that this was one of his things that stuck out to him as well. The transportation sector is the top or second biggest, depending on how you do the math, emitter of greenhouse gases in Minnesota. The legislature's commitment to reducing our carbon footprint now extends to decision-making about highways. The Minnesota Department of Transportation must now consider the climate impacts before it embarks on a highway expansion. That's new legislation from this legislative session we were just talking about with the Speaker of the House. Payday lenders get the cold shoulder. That was another one of Patrick's, he sounded like one of his favorites. Minnesota capped payday lending rates at 36%, which, if nothing else, will likely halt the growth of the industry here. Minnesota is now among 18 other states that cap interest at 36% or lower. The legislation aims to prevent people from getting trapped on a debt treadmill, which is often what happens when borrowers who use payday loans. And I know he mentioned it's not going to injure necessarily the industry, but it'll stop it from growing. I'm all up for injuring that particular industry. I don't think it should exist. I know some people might say, oh, well, it's good because I'm that desperate. But yeah, they pull you in. They pull you in and you can't get out.
Yeah, has that industry ever like had a downturn?
No.
Like throughout human history, I'm going back like centuries. Yeah. Loaning people money. Yeah, I don't think that's going away anytime soon.
I mean,
soon.
It's a mobster. It's loan sharking is what it is. Part of it is illegal. It used to be, at least. So, you know, it's kind of like Citizens United. It's it legalized bribery to politicians. And payday lenders, it's like, okay, you know, you can stay in the game. I'll lend you the $100,000 you already owe, and then by next week you owe $500,000.
30% interest rate. We'll say you like that, or
yeah, it's kind of insane. That happened with credit cards even. I mean, remember when credit, I don't, maybe you don't, but I remember in the early 80s when credit cards all of a sudden came out. You know, we were heading into a recession because of the Reagan tax cuts. And also his Fed chief was really a fan of credit. So it was really easy to get a credit card. And I just happened to be like in my early 20s. I got a credit card. And it was unbelievable that I could get a credit card. I mean, before that, only rich, I thought only rich people had credit cards. My mom and dad didn't even have credit cards in the 1970s. And I was able to get a credit card all of a sudden, but it was something like 27%, you know? I mean, it's practically the same as a payday lender. I remember the first time I used it, me and some friends went to Wisconsin Dells, and nobody had any money, and it's like, oh, we should go on this ride. And it's like, yeah, I can't. And then I'm like, well, I have a credit card. So I started using my credit card to, like, get onto rides, or maybe I went and got cash against the credit card or something. And, of course, all my friends were going to pay me back right away.
Oh, yeah, you were a real popular friend at that point.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, my debt began immediately the first time I used my credit card at the Wisconsin Dells, getting me and my friends to go on rides. I was in debt until maybe 6 years ago. Pretty deep in debt. When you start a business, you go pretty deep in debt. We did get out of debt, though. At least we're successful enough to do that. Another what I think is a really interesting bill that I don't know much about. Representative Andy Smith's bill creates a psychedelic medicine task force, which will advise the legislature on the legal, medical, and policy issues associated with the legalization of psychedelic medicine. That's there's going to be there's a certain kind of mushrooms. I don't know how to pronounce what they are, though. psilocybin mushrooms, LSD. And MDMA, which have shown promise in treating a range of mental illnesses in peer-reviewed studies. The provision received bipartisan support. And it's even funded with about $500,000 during the next 2 years. Bipartisan support. I was talking to somebody about this, somebody who wished it was legal because this person could benefit from it. And this person knew a lot about the 1960s. What was his? I can't remember the guy's name. He was a doctor, and he was experimenting with LSD, but he was trying to do it in a sort of a healthy way. He wasn't just getting stoned for getting stoned's sake. And man, his name's right on the tip of my brain, and I know everyone would recognize his name, Timothy Leary, and. Kind of what made that, because people were starting to study it as though it could be used in what's being talked about here in Andy Smith's bill. It could benefit, you know, it has shown promise in studies, in peer-reviewed studies. We could have been doing this for the last 50 years, but the Nixon administration kind of shut it down with their whole, you know, hippies and black people are going to steal your jobs and they're horrible people and they're all, you know, on drugs and, you know, kind of gave the whole thing a really bad name. And all of the studying stopped. Well, it started up in recent years and it has shown a lot of promise. And I happen to know somebody who, I agree with this person, could be helped with some of this in the problems this particular person is having. And so I found that in Andy Coulican's Minnesota Reformer article here. It's called The Easter Eggs, the good stuff the legislature passed you may not have heard about. And you'll probably hear us talking about it kind of a lot here on AM 950. We had Patrick Coulican on yesterday. Brett interviewed him and talked about this article. You should go check it out. Just go to MinnesotaReformer.com. And you can still find it in some of the top headlines. It's called, you know, The Easter Eggs. And it's a really pretty comprehensive list of some things that you may not know about that the legislature passed this last historic Minnesota legislative session. Time for us to take one more break before the end of the first hour here. Man, it's going fast, but Melissa Hortman made it fun, at least for me. I'm sure for you as well. So let's take a short break and come back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be right back.
Did you let animals pick your insurance? You really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Get ready for the best and biggest fireworks selection at Fireworks City in Baldwin, Wisconsin. And now, they have exciting news. Free stuff is back with a $200 or more purchase. But that's not all. They're bringing back their incredible get 3-for-1 low price deal on all multi-shot cakes. Stock up on these incredible multi-shot cakes and get 3 for the price of 1. At Fireworks City, we're your one-stop shop for all your firework needs. Located just 25 minutes from St. Paul, it's worth a short drive on I-94 to exit 19. And here's the best part. Buy one, get one for 99 cents on every firework. Don't just take their word for it. See all the fireworks in action on one of their many TVs. Experience the excitement firsthand and make an informed choice. Bring your family and friends and head over to Fireworks City in Baldwin, Wisconsin. Exit 19 off Interstate 94. Fireworks City guarantees a fun and family-friendly atmosphere. The best deal on fireworks is waiting for you. Buy one, get one for 99 cents.
Hi, this is Philip Anthony, the host of the Downright Upright Show, the place to go to hear out loud and proud what Minnesotans are thinking. I interview many interesting people and listen to their thoughts on how they plan to better our community and to hear their opinions on current events. Join us and get in on the conversation. You can listen to my podcast, The Downright Upright Show with Philip Anthony, wherever you listen to podcasts or at am950radio.com. So come and join me and continue being fantabulous.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. You've heard me talk about the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program. Now hear from someone who's actually done it, me. Our kid's car, the 2006 Toyota Sienna, served us well for 17 years, but it was finally time to say goodbye. The We Buy program is really simple. I gave them some basic information, we set up an appointment, and after a quick verification, they gave me an estimate and a check, and they made me a generous offer. It was that fast. See for yourself. Try the Rudy Luther Toyota We Buy program at RudyLutherToyota.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Todd Mickelson sitting in on the Matt McNeil Show. Matt's on vacation. Ain't going to be back until July 6th. So a whole week from now, actually. So I'll be on for the rest of today. I will be on again tomorrow. And then Friday, kind of beginning the July 4th long weekend, there will be a best of the Matt McNeil Show. Some interesting moments. Do you know what any of that's going to be yet?
I believe we are still working on lining those up, but we should have a preview for you tomorrow.
Okay. This just didn't. The Kremlin has gone to great lengths to reassert President Vladimir Putin's authority with meetings and events designed to show the unity and solidarity of the state and military under his leadership. But in the minds of many commentators, it won't be easy to draw a line under the extraordinary events of the weekend. There was and of course, we've been talking a little bit about what happened last weekend, and even more fresh in within the last hour, Vladimir Putin has moved to shake up Russia's security services in the wake of the Wagner Group's failed insurrection, rewarding loyalists with promotions and freezing out figures sympathetic to the paramilitary organization's leader, the Wagner leader, Prigozhin. Sergei Surovikin, a senior Russian general known to have a good relationship with Prigozhin, has not been seen since recording a hostage-style video in the early hours of Saturday morning as the mutiny began, according to several people familiar with the matter. The unexplained absence of one of the most prominent commanders in Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine comes as Putin seeks to restore order and reestablish control over the security services after the first coup attempt in Russia in 3 decades. And also, there's another report that he has been arrested, that top general Serovikin has been arrested. So, you know, one of the top guys running the war against Ukraine is now arrested because he was friends with Prigozhin, the guy who started a coup against Vladimir Putin. So Putin doesn't know who he can trust. Surprise, surprise, he had to arrest one of his top generals in basically one of the two top generals that are left, at least, as he's trying to take over Ukraine, simultaneous with Ukraine starting their forward movement, an offensive, instead of just being on defense. Also, the Wagner Group was a huge part. It was basically the Wagner Group was having more success than the Russian military because they're better at fighting. What happened in this war, also that was a surprise to Vladimir Putin, is that the people, they didn't really care much about it. They weren't signing up, you know, the way that Putin figured they would. Putin, you know, he's got this sort of fantasy of old school Russia, probably even Soviet Union type Russia, where the people are, you know, very loyal, even though the people weren't. They were forced to be loyal back in those days. So Vladimir Putin, I think, thought, you know, he gave them disinformation. He said things like they had to get the Nazis out of Ukraine. And he thought that everyone was going to sign up to be in the military and go fight in Ukraine. That did not happen. And they've lost hundreds of thousands of military guys in Ukraine. And now the Wagner, that's part of the reason why the Wagner Group was having more success in Ukraine than the actual Russian military. Well, now the Wagner Group is not fighting in Ukraine anymore. Most of the guys have disappeared. They're saying things like they're going to build camps for the Wagner Group in Belarus. Nobody's really sure exactly what that means. And, you know, the leader of Belarus and the leader of Russia are just, you know, propagandists. So nobody knows what to believe. So this could be really a positive development for Ukraine. The timing of it sounds like it couldn't be much better. And so Ukraine getting fired up to take their land back, perhaps push Russia out, maybe even take Crimea back, push Russia out of Crimea. You know, this is going to be a very interesting next couple of months. Things could move really quickly on a lot of different fronts. We haven't even been talking about yet, but we will when we come back for the second hour. We're coming to a close here after talking to Melissa Hortman, the Speaker of the House in Minnesota. I'm keeping that list of legislation up. Might mention a few more things. I'm not sure. And we have actual moving news these days. So during the breaks, I keep going to see if I can find new developments like this one that just came out in the last hour about what's going on in Russia. But let's take a break here at the top of the hour. We'll be back for the second hour after this break. You're listening to AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm Todd Mickelson, sitting in for the Matt McNeil Show. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Ghost Boxers. You asked for it and you got it. Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken moves to 5 nights a week starting July 10th at 10 p.m. 5 nights of talking about ghosts, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. We're talking about the paranormal every Monday through Friday. Join us and step into the unknown with Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken starting Monday night, July 10th at 10 p.m. If you dare.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our live call-in talk show airing every Saturday from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights you need to know to live and age well. Each week, we talk with guests who provide answers to important questions regarding healthcare, elder care, end-of-life care, and self-care for caregivers, and help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News,